One of the amazing things about being called as a watchman by God, God says this, and according to Ezekiel 33 and 7, he says, "Son of man, I have made you a watchman over the nation." And he says, "And I will give you a word, and I will tell you, and then you go warn the people for me." And this is what the word of the Lord is for today. He says, "Go and tell them," in accordance to 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, he says, "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways," he says, "then I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sins, and I will heal their land." He says, "Now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to prayers made in this place." He says, "Milt, I'm telling you to go share with my people that when they see all the calamity that's going on around in their nation, when they see all the confusion that's going on in their governments, in their education centers, with their finances, when they see all the calamity that's going on in the music industry, the entertainment industry, and the financial sectors," he says, "when you see all these things happen, if my people, my chosen ones, who have called me by name, will make a decision to first humble themselves or submit themselves to me, then come and pray. They need to attentively seek my face." You're not going to find the answers in legislation. You're not going to find an answer by a new politician. You're not going to find the answer by raising up a new CEO. He says, if they will come to me, if my people will come to me and humble themselves and pray and earnestly seek my face and not just my hand. Because a lot of times when people come to God, he says they're seeking my hand and they're not seeking my face. They won't just want me to do something to make this situation go away. And he says, but when you seek my face, I can provide to you knowledge, understanding, comprehensive insight, and wisdom to be able to turn the situation around once and for all. And he says, but when they make a decision to humble themselves and pray and purpose to seek my face, he says, and then they will turn from their wicked ways. What makes it a wicked way? Which means that you're doing things that don't line up with the plans, purposes, word, and will of God. When we're doing things in our nation, we're doing things in our government, we're doing things in our finances, when we're doing things with entertainment, when we're doing things in education and in family services, he says, when you begin to do things that go counterclockwise to God's principles, laws, and commands, he says, you will get a much different result. Think about it this way. Remember when Adam and Eve were in the Garden of Eden and how before, you know, they bowed their knees to the adversary and had more confidence in what he said than what it is that God says. Remember before that, it says that when Adam and Eve were in the garden, they walked in the cool of the day, they talked to God, they fellowshiped with God. And it was an easier way of life because they were doing things that lined up with God's will, God's ways, and God's word. But the moment that they introduced something else different into the equation that went counterclockwise to God's will, God's word, and his ways, they got a much different result. Remember when God first brought Adam and he had Adam and he brought Eve to Adam and presented her to him? He says, whoa, man. He's like, that is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. And they were both naked, but they weren't ashamed. But as soon as they introduced something else new into the equation, as soon as they turned from following God's will, God's word, and God's way, and they begin to follow another way, they got a different result. And what was the first thing they was? They saw each other naked and they hid themselves, he says, because they were ashamed. What made them ashamed? Because they took on a different nature than they had before. They took on the sin nature, which is rooted from the kingdom of darkness, and they begin to act out just like their adversary. And what God is saying, but I've already sent the answer to this problem. I've already sent you the solution to that sin problem, to that sin nature, to that kingdom of darkness issue that you had going on. And his name is Jesus. And he says, and when people make a decision to follow wholly after him, and go God's way, follow his will, follow his commands, follow his statutes, when they seek God's ways of doing, he says, then they get a totally different result, and God is open to hear their prayers and forgive their sins and heal their land. If you want your land healed today, man, do these things. Stop right where you are right now and make a decision to humble yourselves and pray and seek God's face, and then turn from your ways. Repent for the ways that you have lived. We repent for the ways that our governments have operated, and we repent for the ways and the laws and the legislations that our government officials have come up with, and our CEO and business owners have come up with, in the financial system, in the family sector, in education, Father. We repent right now in the name of Jesus for the things that we have done within the churches, Father God, the things that we have allowed to go on in the entertainment industry and in the media, Father God. We repent before you right now in the name of Jesus, and we ask you to forgive us of all of these sins, past, present, and future, Father, in the name of Jesus. And we ask you to heal our land now in the name of Jesus. Father, we turn from the wicked ways. We turn from following after the world. We turn from being conformed to this world's way of doing things. And we make a hard decision right now to follow wholly after you. And because we have made this decision, not from our heads, but from our hearts, Father God, we know that you have not only heard us, but we believe we receive the petitions which we have desired of you. We thank you for it. We honor you for it. We praise you for it right now. In Jesus' name, amen, and glory be to God. Why is it always important to do what it is the Word of God says? Well, first of all, why is it important to make sure you even know what the Word says? Because God said it over the last couple of weeks. He says the number one destroyer of this generation is not porn or alcohol or even drugs, though they are all major contributors to their downfall. He says the number one destroyer of this generation is their lack of knowledge of God and of His Word. Why would you say that? Well, he actually said that in Hosea chapter 4, verse number 6, where he says, my people are destroyed for their lack of knowledge. Now, when he's talking about lack of knowledge, he's not just talking about any old kind of knowledge. He's talking about the knowledge of his ways, his will, his word, his statutes, his principles, his laws, and his command. He's talking about the priest who had been given the task to teach God's people his will, his word, his ways, his command, his principles, and his laws, and they weren't doing it. And as a result of it, the people were getting caught up in more and more and more sin. And because they were getting caught up in more and more sin, you got to understand that the laws of the spirit, life in Christ Jesus, makes you free from the law of sin and death. But if you're not operating according to the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus, by default, you're operating according to the laws of sin and death. And when you operate according to the laws of sin and death, you get the judgments or the outcome of what the operating according to the law of sin and death actually does. Now, this is the thing. Most people who say they are followers of Jesus don't understand the fact that the kingdom of God is God's way of doing and being right. And in that kingdom, there's laws, there's principles, there's commands, and there's a way that we are to do things. If you only think of it from a religious standpoint, then you will think just going to church on Sunday and throwing your Baptist dollar in the plate and everything is good enough. He says, but when you said, I did not say to make Jesus your savior, he says, you are to confess that Jesus is Lord, which means he's supreme in authority, he's supreme in character, he's the owner, he's the possessor, he gets the final say in everything that we say and or do. And for many of us, for many, many years, we say that Jesus was our Savior, but we had not made him Lord. And because we had not made him Lord, we continue to live life the way that we knew how life was supposed to be lived according to what it is that the world had already taught. But as followers of Jesus, as citizens of the kingdom of God, we have a responsibility that the moment that we make Jesus the Lord of our life, then we begin the journey of renewing our minds. According to Romans chapter 12, verse number 2, it says, don't be conformed to this world. He says, don't be conformed to this world way of doing and being right. He says, but be transformed. Now, what does that mean? Why would he have to tell you to be transformed if the way that the world was, ways were going were actually in alignment with what God's ways? Because the world's ways, this world's systems, talking about what, from finances to government to education to family services to entertainment and media, and even in some instances, how the church operates. He says, if you operate according to the world's systems, what the world says is right, what the world says is the what you are supposed to do, he says, they will go polar opposite to what God's ways are. And he says, and even though you might get a result, you won't get a lasting result. You won't get the God kind of result because you have not made a decision from your heart to do it God's ways. But he says, what you're supposed to do is transform, like the transformer, more than meets the eyes. That means you got to be changed. Transform, be changed. How? By the total renewal of your mind by the word of God. He says, and when you are able to be transformed or by the total renewal of your mind, what happens? Then you can prove for yourself what is God's good, acceptable, and perfect will. What is God saying? He says, my people who were being destroyed by their lack of, because of their lack of knowledge, when they are transformed, when they are changed by the total renewing of their minds by the word of God, he says, then you will get God's results. Then you will understand when it comes to your family, what is God's will concerning your family? When it comes to your finances, what is God's will when it comes to your finances? When it comes to your government, what is God's design for government? When it comes to your education center, what is God's design for education? And what is his will? What not only is his will, but his good, acceptable, and perfect will concerning whatever it is that you're dealing with in your life. Now, the thing I love about the life of Jesus is God never tells you to do something that he's not already modeled before us, before he ever told us to do it. How did he do that? He did that by the life of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. When Jesus was on the earth, Jesus modeled what it meant for a man anointed by God to live on earth in God's ways, his will, and his word. Now, a lot of times what we do is we go about 30% of what Jesus did and we lead the other 70% according to the way we want to do it. But God has said, but if you're those who are called by his name, those who are called him, called on the name of Jesus, those who have made Jesus Lord of their life, he says, then your responsibility, my responsibility, is to make sure that we're living life according to the kingdom of God or God's ways of doing and being right. Now, Jesus goes on to say, how do you know that you're living according to his ways, his will, and his word? He says, the way that you find out is, are you doing what the word of God says to do? Are you a doer of the word or are you just a hearer of the word? Many people have heard the word, but they've never taken the time to put together a plan with the Holy Spirit on how to apply that word to their everyday life. And because they have not made a decision to put together a plan on how to do what the word says, it's impossible for them to get the results that the word says is available to them. Do you understand? It's not enough just to hear the word, you have to do it. It's not enough just to read the word. You have to make a decision to do it. It's not enough just to cry about it and have a hallelujah shout and good time and receive it with joy. And then when persecution and afflictions come for that word, to try to get that word out of your heart, if you have not made a heart decision that you're going to do the word of God, even though the word is there to help you, the word is there to benefit you, the word is there to transform you, the word is there to put you, to aim you in the direction you're supposed to go. If you never put together a plan or make a decision to do it from your heart and not your head, you will never see God's ways of doing things or get the outcome that you desire, not because the word doesn't work, because you have not made a decision to do the word consistently. Some people hit and miss it for about a week or two, and then they get frustrated because they're not seeing results they want, and they give up, they cave in and quit. But you got to understand, you have an adversary who's fighting against you to try to get you to do just that, give up and quit. But for those who refuse to give up, those who refuse to back away from God's ways of doing things, those who made a decision, I'm going to follow out the God's word no matter what. Those who will endure to the end, those same will be saved, set free, healed, delivered, made whole in the name of Jesus. Now, there's two ways. There's a way of the light, and then there's a way of the dark. Some people said that when Jesus came to the earth, God sent Jesus to the earth to condemn the world. But the word of God doesn't support that. What the word of God says in accordance to John chapter 3, verse 16, he says that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. So God sent his son into the world that whosoever believed on him would not perish, but would have everlasting life. Then he goes on to say this in verse 17, and this is so powerful. In fact, many people read over it because they usually stop at John 3, 16. But this is what John 3, 17 actually says about it. It says that God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through his son Jesus might be saved. He goes on to say, he who believes in Jesus is not condemned or judged, but he who does not believe is condemned already. Why is he already condemned? Because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. So God does not have to condemn you. God doesn't have to put a judgment on you. If you have not received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, the judgment has already gone forth. But there's an opportunity while you're still in the earth, while there's still breath in your body, to make a decision to make Jesus the Lord of your life. The word of God also goes on to say in verse number 19, and this is the condemnation. What is the condemnation? Why is there the judgment? That the light has come into the world and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his or her deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God. In other words, what he's saying is, people who enjoy doing evil. Now, let's be honest. Sin is pleasurable for a season, but the payment for that sin can be everlasting, will be everlasting if we don't make a decision to repent. You know, it's interesting when you read in John chapter 16, when Jesus is talking about the ministry of the Holy Spirit, it talks about how the Holy Spirit will convict the world of sin. But what is the sin that the Holy Spirit will convict the world of? The sin that the Holy Spirit will convict the world of is the fact that they did not believe in Jesus. So you're saying if a person, before they came and made Jesus Lord, if a person was a whoremonger, if the person was an alcoholic, if the person was a murderer, if the person was all these other things, if they make a decision to receive Jesus as Lord of their life, you're trying to tell me that God will forgive them of all the sin that they have done and receive them into his family, receive them into heaven? 100% yes. Why? Because when Jesus came on the earth, Jesus paid the price for your sins, past, present, and future. And the reason why that people who have not made a decision to receive Jesus as Lord of their life is the condemnation, or they're already condemned, is because God has already judged the adversary, the one who was the causing all the issues and sinning against God and caused others to sin against God. And one of the biggest sins he caused them to do against God was to reject the free gift that God gave to the world to deal with your sin debt. It's kind of like if I had $1 million and you had a $5,000 bill, a $5,000 ticket, and if you pay that ticket, you won't have to go to jail. You won't have to pay the consequences. But I come and I have $1 million, but your bill is only five. I make a decision. I will pay the $5,000 so you don't have to pay the consequences. But you say, I don't want your money. Keep your money. I don't want nothing to do with you. Keep your money. I will just deal with all the consequences myself, even though you can't never pay back the $5,000 debt, but you have somebody who's already readily available pay the debt for you, and you refuse. He says the same thing. He says Jesus has already come to pay, and he's paid the sin debt for the entire world, but only those who believe in him will be able to partake of what he's already done. Even though it's available to you, you have to be a partaker. You have to make a decision to receive it in order for you to be able to be a partaker of being delivered from the consequences of sin. Same thing. When God was talking to the children of Israel back in 2 Chronicles 7:14, the people were sinning against God. And God says, but if you will make a decision to humble yourself and pray and purpose to seek my face and turn from your wicked ways, guess what had to happen? The people had to make a decision to initiate it. God didn't just do it for them. They had to make a decision to initiate it. Why am I telling you all this? The same thing when it comes to getting in the Word of God. You have to make a decision to get in the Word of God, because the Word of God says in 2 Timothy chapter 2 that the Lord knows those who are his. And he says, let everyone who names the name of Christ do what? Depart from iniquity. He wants you to depart from iniquity. What is iniquity? Sin simply means you missed God's mark. Iniquity means you knew what God's mark was and you did it anyway. And God is saying for those who call on the name of the Lord, those who said that they made Jesus the Lord of their life, those who said they turned from their old wicked ways and they're going to follow after God. God says this in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 5, he says, for this you know, that no fornicator, a fornicator is anybody who's practicing sex with anybody outside of the biblical definition of marriage, whether you same sex, heterosexual, none of that matters. Fornication is fornication, period. He says anybody who is practicing sex outside of the biblical definition and covenant of marriage is committing fornication. He says, so no fornicator, no unclean person, no covetous man, who is an idolater, has an inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. He says, let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Remember, you have to make a decision to receive what it is that God has already made available for you. Remember, you have those who love darkness, and then you have those who operated in truth, who because they operated in a light. He says the difference between the two is one made a decision to obey God. The other one made a decision not to. Then he goes on to say this, therefore, do not be partakers with them. For you, now he's talking to, Paul was talking to the followers of Jesus at the church of Ephesus. He says, you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. In other words, don't even get caught up in those things that you already know are sin. You already know they go against the things of God. You already know they go against the Word of God. He says, don't get caught up in those things. He says, but rather, yeah, expose those things. Expose those things to what? To the light. Who are you going to expose it to? People who are in darkness. How are you going to be able to expose it? By the Word of God, because the Word of God is a light. It says in Psalms 119:105, the Word of God is a lamp unto our feet. It is a light unto our path. What does it do? When you got the Word, it enlightens your path. If you're on a path and you come across something that you know is in darkness, the light exposes it to you. And what do? You walk around it or you get away from it. He says, for it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things, say that with me, all things are exposed and made manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore, he says, awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. What is he saying? No matter whether you've been in darkness or whether you find yourself slipping back into things from time to time, he says, when you study my word, when you begin to read my word, when you begin to get in my word begins to do what? It enlightens you. What happens when you begin to get in the word of God? In accordance to Psalms 119, it says this, it says, the interest of your word brings light. The interest of your word gives revelation and it gives understanding to the simple. When you get the word of God and when you begin to expose yourself to the word of God, that word will enlighten you. It will show you things to come. It will show you things that you do not know, but it will also show you what is God's will, what is God's word, what is God's ways concerning whatever it is that you're believing for or whatever it is that you're doing in your life. How do you know this is true? Well, in 2 Timothy chapter 3, 16, it says this, all scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true, to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. Say that again. All scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. God uses the word to prepare and equip his people to do every good work. What does God use to prepare you and equip you to do every good work? He uses his word. But in order for you to understand how to be enlightened, how to be prepared, how to be equipped for every good work, you have got to make a decision that God's way is right and God's way is true and God's way is the final authority because Jesus is the Lord of your life and you're going to make a decision today to follow his way, his will, and his word, and you're going to be doers of the word and not hearers only, and you're going to be constantly renewing your mind by the word of God that you may prove once and for all what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. That's what this is all about. When 2 Chronicles 7:14, he's talking about you've made a decision that you was going one way and you're going to turn and go a different way. And you're going to pray for this nation and you're going to pray for your government and you're going to pray for the entertainment system and media. You're going to pray for financial services. You're going to be praying for the churches and you're going to be praying for all these different groups. Why are you going to be praying for? Because you now know what is God's good, acceptable, and perfect will because you've made a decision no longer to be conformed to this world, but to be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove once and for all what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. And I like to, if you never made Jesus the Lord of your life, I'd like to give you an opportunity to do that right now, because the thing is remember, everything starts with you or I making a decision to turn and go the way of the Lord. How do you go about doing that? Well, I just shared it with you. In accordance to Romans chapter 10, verses 8, 9, and 10, it says this. It says, the word of God is near your sin, your heart is in your mouth. It's the word of faith which we preach, that if you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. But with the heart man believes unto righteousness, but with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You heard the word first. Now that you heard the word, now you got to make a decision to act out on what it is that you heard. It's not enough just to have heard it. You have to hear it and then act out on what it is that you just heard. What did we just say? If you want to change your situation, if you want to get in right standing with God, if you want to become a citizen of the kingdom of God, if you want to come in right fellowship with God because you got out of fellowship with him, how do you do that? You confess and make Jesus the Lord of your life, believe that God raised him from the dead, and man, it's like there's a reset button that's hit, and then you begin to renew your mind by the word of God. I want to give you an opportunity to do that right now. Pray this prayer with me. Say it out of your mouth. Mean it from your heart. Dear Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I do believe Jesus Christ He is the Son of God. I believe he died for me on the cross and carried my sins for me. I believe he was put in a grave, but now he's risen. He's alive right now. Lord Jesus, I confess you as Lord over my life. I accept you as Lord, and I ask you to fill me with your Holy Spirit right now in Jesus' name. I can confess with my mouth, I believed in my heart, therefore I believe I'm born again. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. Well, if you prayed that prayer for the very first time, I want to welcome you to the kingdom of God, welcome you back into right relationship with God, welcome you back in right fellowship with God. If you've already prayed that prayer, you rededicated your life with him. Now what do you got to do? And you got to get in the Word-based church that teaches about the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ, teaches you about the love of God, teaches you about the kingdom of God. We know the Faith Life Depot is such a place as that. And we invite you to join us here every Saturday at 6 p.m. Atlantic Standard Time, 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, where you'll be able to hear a word in due season that will teach you about who God is and what his desire is for your life, so that you may be doers of the word and not hearers only. At Faith Life Depot is where faith and life meet. Now, on behalf of Pastor Juwin and the entire Faith Life Nation, I want to thank you for joining us, and we'll see you next time. God bless you. Bye-bye.